Parshas Lech Lecha. These parshas begin introducing us to our roots, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And there is, by way of introduction, an amazing story with the Brisker Rav. Somebody came to the Brisker Rav, a professional came to him, an American. And he came to visit Brisker Rav in Yerushalayim. And the Brisker Rav said to him, "Tommy, what are you? What's your profession?" So he said, I'm a lawyer. I have a law firm." Okay. Brisker Rav carried on talking to him. 5 minutes later, he said to him, "Tommy, what do you work? What's your profession? What do you do?" So maybe Brisker Rav forgot. "I'm a professional. I'm a lawyer. You know, I've got a law firm." Okay, carried on another 10 minutes. And again, the question comes up. And again, he answered, "I'm a lawyer." The Brisker Rav said, "You're making a big mistake." Brisker Rav said, "I didn't ask you what you do for a living. I asked you, who are you? What is your profession? You should have answered me like Yonah answered. Yonah was asked by the people on the boat. They asked, 'Miato, who are you?' He answered back to them, 'Ivri anoichi, I'm an Ivri. Ve'es elekim bashamayim ani yorei, and I fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu.'" So he said, and the Radak said, that is the answer he gave. A Jew is not about answering what he does for a living. A Jew, his very definition, his very occupation, his very definition is Ivri Anoichi. I'm an Ivri. That is a Jew. That's what he answers. Ivri Anoichi is a status of what I am. Now what does this mean? Ivri Anoichi means standing on one side and everyone else on the other. It means running your life differently to the way the rest of the world runs their life. It's about taking a challenge the way a Jew takes a challenge, not the way the rest of the world takes a challenge. Rabbi Socha Fran says, he once gave over this vote in Baltimore. A few weeks later, a businessman phoned him up and said to him, "I was so impressed by this vote of Ivri Anoichi, I got a paperweight made that's on my desk that says two words in it, Ivri Anoichi. And every time the phone rings or a business deal is going through, I remember Ivri Anoichi. I remember I have to act differently to everyone else. More is expected from me. My occupation, my whole life's way of thinking is Ivri Anoichi." Now what is Ivri Anoichi? Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayesora, Toldos is all referring to the way the Ovos built their life. It's all the way the Ovos dealt and created something called an Ivri. Avraham Avinu is called the Ivri. He was standing on one side, everyone else stood on the other. What does it mean to be an Ivri? So according to many Poskim, Poshim rather, is a way of, there's a discussion of how you count the different Nisoyinus. Ur Kastim was the first Nisoyin. Lech Lecha was another Nisoyin. I'm not going to exactly how it's counted, but certainly Lech Lecha was one of the 10 Nisoyinus. Vayomer Hashem al Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, now Avram then was a relatively comfortable person financially. Don't know how much he had financially. Though he didn't have any children. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'meladetcha me'beitzavicha l'eretz asher erecha. Go, leave everything behind. Leave your home, leave your family, leave your culture, leave everything behind, and go to the land that I'll show you. Ve'eschal le'goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Vavarechacha, and I'll bless you. Ve'gadlo shmecha, I'll make your name great. Ve'heyei brocha, and you'll be a blessing. Now, why dafka these brochas? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave it all behind. Why dafka these brochas? What's the idea behind it? Now, I want to understand with the Shir exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu by this very Nisoyin. Whether it's the first Nisoyin, whether it's the second Nisoyin. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu, there's a Nisoyin of leaving home. I want to give you a key. This is a code. And Be'ez Hashem, at the end of the Shir, we start to Dishmaya, we'll be able to crack the code of what Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu here. This is a secret code. And this secret code was able to take Avraham Avinu all the way through, from point Lech Lecha to eventually to the end of Vayera, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Atiyadati, now I know that you're one of mine. And now I know that you can be the first Jew. So this is a code. The Eschol LeGodol, I believe, is a code to and we have to unravel the idea behind it to show us exactly what Kodesh Baruch Hu's message was. There's a fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says, Vahashem nisa es Avram in Parshas Vayera. Vahashem nisa es Avram in the Kedah it says like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram Avinu. Says a Medrash, a Moshel. And the Moshel has three parts to this Moshel. The Moshel had three parts to the Moshel. One part of the Moshel says a Moshel is why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu test Tzadikim and not Rishoyim? Rishon seems to have it very easy. Why is it tzaddikim and get tested? Says the marshal, the mother of a daimon, said Rabbi Yonason, to a pishtani hazeh, you have a pishtani. What's a pishtani? A pishtani is a person who works with flax. Now flax is something that the more you hit it, good quality flax gets thinner and thinner. And it can make much better quality clothes from something that is knocked out. Thinner. So pishtani hazeh, good quality flax, a pishtani, the person who works with flax hits it. But it only hits good quality flax. If it hits bad quality flax, it'll just fall apart. So too says a medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he hits, and when he goes along and gives nisyonos, he gives tests to the tzaddik and not to the rishon. That's one part of the medrash. Second part of the medrash is compared, says a medrash, Om Rav Yenison HaYetzer HaZeh Kishuhu Boidik Es Kli HaKivshon. When the Yetzer, the person who creates pots, a person takes pots out of the oven. What does he do? Says the Medrash, he takes them and he bangs them. He hits them. When you have a customer coming inside, he goes and gives him a bash. What does he bash? What does he hit? He hits a good quality kelim. Because if he hit a bad quality kelim, they'll fall apart. So too, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he goes along and gives nisyonos, tests, he tests, the tzaddikim does not test the rishoyim. The second moshel. The third moshel brings a Medrash, is a person has two cows. He has one cow that's weak and one cow that's strong. What cow does he put the yoke on to do the ploughing? He says the Medrash puts a yoke on the strong cow. So to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he goes along and tests, he tests and puts a yoke on the tzaddik, does not put the yoke on the rasha. That is a Medrash. Now what's Peshat in this? Why need three examples? Pishtani, we have the Yetzer with the pots, and we have the yoke on the cow. What is the idea behind these three Peshatim? So I want to explain it out like this. The first moshel is giving us the understanding, number one, of why is it important to have a nisoyim. Why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu give a nisoyim? The first pshat of why a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a nisoyim is to better a person, to strengthen them. A person has flax. Now flax by itself is a very, very thick, raw, heavy material. The more you hit it, the better it gets. The more you pound it, good quality flax will get thinner and thinner. You can weave that into more finer quality garments. So the first idea of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu should possibly ever give a tzaddik a nisoyin is what? To strengthen him. To take him, you hit him, and he becomes better through the nisoyin. He becomes stronger through the nisoyin. He becomes a better person through the nisoyin. That is the first moshel of the Medrash. Many, many, many people have only become great, have only had the fulfillment of the potential through a nisoyin HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. I'll give you an example. There's a family in Beit Vegan called the Ehrenfelds. The Ehrenfelds had a child called Menachem who was by 6 months old, he got Yenamachle. He got cancer at 6 months. And he fought cancer until he died at 14. And they did everything they could. Everything they could. The dedication they had for this child was unbelievable. But this child unfortunately passed away. And what did they make? They made lemonade out of a lemon, and they made a big, famous, worldwide organization called Zichron Menachem. Zichron Menachem is a base where they have a care center, they have a hostel, they have camps, they have support groups for people, Nebuch, who have children who have cancer. And would they have done that without that? I don't know. Very, very unlikely. Very unlikely that without Menachem, Zichron Menachem would have come into existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu beat them, and beat them, and beat them, and beat them. And the tzaddikim grew from it. They became stronger and stronger. And they built an organization, a worldwide organization that gives hundreds, if not thousands of people chizuk on a regular basis. That is the first idea of an nisoyin. An nisoyin is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates us. It's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to revenge us. An nisoyin is to make us stronger. A certain family member, certain acquaintance rather, went to a very, very large convention in America. And a convention was for children off the derech. And people who were sitting there were all frum people. The people who are the leaders of the Kiruv of Kerovim, or bringing back Nebuch, the children who go astray, were all frum people. And the lecturer stood up and he said, "Gentlemen, Rabbi Isai, how many of you here have a child or a relative that went off the derech?" 100%. Every single one of the people there who was a world professional in the Kiruv Kerovim was because they had a child who went off the derech. and they worked hard to make a lemonade out of a lemon in order to bring the children back. Why did a Kodesh Baruch make the child go off the derech? I have no idea. But one reason is that these people can help so many other people. Kedoyma, example after example. The idea of the first moshel of the Medrash is posha to show us that sometimes when a person gets hit, it's to make them stronger. It's to give them greater awareness of who they are and what strengths they have. That's the first moshel. But it's very, very easy to get completely crushed. How do you do this? There's a fantastic vort. Each moshel I want to give, the tools to work with this moshel. The Pasuk, when it talks about Avram Avinu being thrown in to the fiery furnace by his father Terach and King Nimrod, the Pasuk calls it Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim, the light of Kasdim. Why does not call it the fire of Kasdim? It wasn't light, it was a fire there. It was a huge burning furnace.
Ur Kasdim is light, Ur is fire.
Or is light. Or is light. Right. It should be Eish Kastim. Eish Kastim. Why Or Kastim? Or is a light or a little flame. But it's not a fire. So the Baruch Modcha Ezrachi, Avram Avinu, when he was taken to the Nisoyan of either dropping his beliefs or getting burnt in a furnace, he didn't see a furnace. He saw a light. He didn't see the big Nisoyan, wow, I'm getting burnt to death. I see an opportunity here. I see a light. I see a path. I can follow this path. I don't know whether I live or die. But I see opportunity for greatness here. What will happen to me? Who cares? I don't see a Eish. I see a Ur. I see a light. I'm attracted towards the light. That is how a person grows within the Soyan. And the Soyan is not something that should determine a person's end, Chas V'Sholem. If a person uses it in the correct way, he sees an opportunity to grow, to become stronger. To build on it. That is the first medrash. The second medrash talks about the pots. Yeah? What's the deal behind the pots? The pots, if you hit them, you can hit them as much as you want, it's not going to make them any stronger. It will make them stronger. What's the idea behind the pots? The pots is if a customer comes into the store and says, I want a good pot, he wants a little bash on the pots to see how good they are. That is to test to see actually how strong they are. Not to make them stronger, but to test the quality. In other words, the second idea of a Nisoyan is not to make you stronger, but it's to show who you really are. You think you're doing so well, I'll give you a Nisoyan. I'll give you a little test. I'm going to show you and identify exactly where you're holding. Nisoyan from the word Nais. Nais is a banner. Where am I? Who am I? You think you're doing so fantastically, I'll give you a little Nisoyan. Let's see if you trip up. Not to strengthen you, just to show you who you are. That is an Nisoyan. And if you pass an Nisoyan, fantastic, that is who you are. So the second idea is the idea of a Nais, of a showing a banner who you are. What is a classic example? We have a classic example of Loit. Now listen to this, this is a fantastic vort. Loit is brought down this week's parasha, did very, very well going with Avram Avinu. It was an Nisoyan. No, he also left in Golas Avram Avinu. Pasuk says in last week's parasha, in this week's parasha, V'yelech itoy Loit, Avram Avinu is not a superstar yet. Yeah? He was just starting on his way, and Loit followed him along. So Loit went with him. Very, very clever move spiritually. Fantastic. You know what? He even made money. The Pasuk says later on, in Perek Gimel, Yud Gimel, Pasuk Beis, V'Avram koveid ma'oid b'mikne b'kesev b'zav, Avram Avinu made it. Vayelech the Masov, etc., etc. And Pasuk Hey, the Gam le Loit Ahoyet as Avram Hoyet Soin Abok of Oyelim. Loit who went with Avram Avinu also made it. Because if you mistabek, if you connect yourself with a Godol, you also do very well. And he did very well. So the Pasuk Vele Nosa Oysom Ha'oritz Hashavis Yachtov. There was not enough agriculture to keep them going. There wasn't enough food. Poshut, not enough food for the animals. Ki Hoyre Chushom Rav, they have a lot of wealth. They couldn't live together. There was not enough room. So the pasuk that he riv, and there's an argument ben Roy Mikna Avram ben Roy Mikna. Look, there's a fight. V'yomer Avram. Avram said, "Let's not fight." Al noti river beni benecho. Halakol oisel fenecho. The whole land's in front of you. He pour normal life. Please leave. V'yisa loit es einov. Loit picked up his eyes. V'yaris kolakika hayardin chol mashke, etc. And the pasuk says, Vayisa loit mikedem. and Lot traveled from Kedem. What is Kedem? Says Rashi. Nasa me'etz Avram v'holach le'maravo. Medrash Agoda hesiyu atzmoi mekadmoyne shloilam. Lot became an apikoyos. Omar, he said, Efshi, Lot be Avram v'lo be Lakov. I don't need Avram, I don't need this God. I'm out of here. Now this is fantastic. Number one, who said he's an apikoyos? He decided to keep business going. The pasuk itself says that it was not able to finance them both. It was a posh business decision. They could not be together in the same place. There's not enough food. This posh is a problem over here. So he left because of that. Says in pasuk later, he left because he became an apikoros. Why? He left because of business. Number one. And number two, who says he traveled away? Who said he says, I don't want Avram, I don't want his God? He just traveled away. Who said? Who said he? That's what he meant when he traveled away. Who said he meant that? Number one, he didn't travel away because he wanted to. He traveled away because there's not enough food. Number two, even if he did travel away, who said he became an apikoros through that? So I saw again for Baruch Mot Chizrachi, he brought a beautiful story from the Altar from Slabodka. Altar from Slabodka, he built a yeshiva. Slabodka was the yeshiva. A Talmud came to him, and Talmud said he has a problem. Back in his little village where his parents lives, all the people there are Amaratzim. And there's nobody who knows how to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Nobody knows how to blow the Rosh Hashanah. If he doesn't blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, there won't be somebody who will blow the shofar. What should he do? On the one hand, he really wants to be in the yeshiva. People come from all over to be in the Vardik for Elul. And for Yom HaNeroim, unbelievable. Now he's got to leave the yeshiva and go back home to his shtetl. Who knows what's over there? He really doesn't want to go. But the Alpha said to him, but who'll blow the shofar? I know, but who'll blow the shofar? But what's with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and helping his people? What's going to be? So Rav Anna said, listen, who's going to blow the shofar? So with a broken heart, he left the yeshiva. He came back for winter zman, and the Alter gave him a cold shoulder. It wasn't as warm as he was. And this carried on a few weeks. I thought maybe the Alter, it's nothing, I'm imagining it. But he realized after a few weeks he wasn't imagining it. He went to the Alter. And he said, you know, what have I done wrong? You told me to go home. He said, but you missed Yom HaNeroim in yeshiva. You weren't in yeshiva. You weren't in the Gvaldige yeshiva, Slabodka. You weren't in yeshiva during Yom HaNeroim. He said, but you told me to. But you weren't in yeshiva for Yom HaNeroim. But you told me. You were. What's Peshat in that story? Peshat in the story is exactly with Lot. A person has an nisayon. What do we do? What am I supposed to do? You're right. It's a terrible business decision. What's Lot supposed to do? Here he has a whole bunch of sheep he's got to feed. He's got to move. So what's the option? He's got to move. The answer is, 1 second. But the option is not being able to feed the animals and leaving Avraham. Is that the option? The option is to look after his people at home and leave yeshiva. You'll find another option. There'll be another option. You'll pay somebody to come along and blow the shofar. Lot, you know what? You may not be able to have all these animals anymore. Change them, sell them, and make some money from it, and invest some money in something else. The fact that Lot can go along and leave Avram Avinu, that shows in the apikoros. He's saying, Avram Avinu, I don't need you, I don't need your God, I'm out of this. The first nisayon of money that Lot came across, he completely crumbled. But he had financial things. Very good financial decision. You got to leave. But when the got to leave comes on the expense of leaving Avram Avinu, and he happily did that, that shows he doesn't like Avram Avinu, and he's got nothing to do with his God either. He threw it back in his face. He became an apikoros. That is the koyach of a nesoyin. The nesoyin is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests a person. You're a wonderful person, Lot. You go with Avram Avinu, and you're becoming wealthy. Everything's going very well. Hashem said, okay, let's give a bit more money. Then let's give a little bit, too many sheep for too few blades of grass. Let's see what happens to you then. And Lot crumbled. You know what happened to him? He eventually left Avram Avinu slowly. And what happened to him? He became the head of Sodom. He left Avram Avinu's home and he became the mayor of Sodom. He represented Sodom. He was on a little Sodom stamps. That was Lot. That's what happened to him. Slowly he moved away. And that is a koyach of a nesoyin. Somebody who is strong will be able to live it through. Somebody who is not strong will crumble under the pressure, and that's it, it's all over.
What's that got to do with the yeshiva bocha?
This yeshiva bocha, he has a test now of going home and blowing the shofar. Wonderful, wonderful. But if that comes at the expense of leaving a yeshiva, you'll work something else out. The option is not to leave the yeshiva. The option is go along, borrow some money, pay somebody to go to the town and blow the shofar. That you can leave the yeshiva. Of Slabotka Du Yom Nerayim. There's something badly wrong with you. It's not an option. If you're leaving yeshiva is either leave yeshiva or shoot somebody in the brain, then you got to think about how we should do about this. But leaving yeshiva is shooting somebody. Leaving yeshiva is shooting yourself. You can't do such a thing. It's not an option. The fact that you can do such a thing shows you that yeshiva is not that important. People have to. I've got to go home. Why? My second cousin's brother-in-law's brother, who's a very, very close friend of mine, is getting married. I have to. But don't go. It's mummy. She's going to be broke the rest of my life. Different people ask different shailas. But for some people, it's not even a shaila. Some people, you have to. If you have to, you have to. But it just shows where you're holding. This is a second nesoyim. The second nesoyim, or the medrash, is not showing, not giving the nesoyim to strengthen, but giving the nesoyim to test just how far you can press a button and the whole thing doesn't explode in your face. That was Lot, and Lot fell apart.
But who's it to show? I mean, Hashem knows what they're capable of.
Yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. A person can be thinking that in yeshiva, everything's going great, everything's going fine. You go outside the door, you fall apart, that shows who you are. You've fallen apart. Which Rock gives him the sign, just to show a person shouldn't live in his little bubble, believing that he's something that he isn't. He should be able to work on himself more. It's an sign, it's a test for yourself, to be able to grow with yourself. That is the second part of the Medrash. You have Jews who have gone through Nisyon, it's unbelievable. There's a story I saw. Let me take it up in this option here.
It's hell enough power, you can probably just plug it in. Famous last words. I think you can just plug in the
famous last words. Yitzhak Zilber was a Jew who was on the biggest Rabbonim in Russia. In the communist times. An unbelievable tzaddik. He lives in Sahedra Mechevet. An unbelievable tzaddik. Moise Nefesh Vatira. He went around and gave shu'urim. He went around and he taught people Torah, little groups. With Mesiris Nefesh, one can't even begin to imagine. Not only did he teach Torah when he was in Russia, he actually got a visa to leave Russia and he came back to Eretz Yisrael. And he moved to Eretz Yisrael. But even when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he used to go back to Russia under different names and carry on looking after his Talmidim there with tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. Tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. He made little groups, people would find out about it, and he would make a little shir here, a shir there, chizak here, help there. And he did this on a regular basis, a tremendous tzaddik. One time he was walking through the streets in Russia somewhere, and behind him, somebody yelled at him, Rabbi Yitzchak, from Zilber! You know, nobody's supposed to say his name, he turned around, shh! And a man walked towards him, he was a tramp. He had a coat that was completely thin. It was falling to pieces. Now, by the way, you've got to know, if you've been to Russia, you've been to Europe, in a freezing winter, it is unbelievably cold. Moscow, one of these places, it could be minus 15, 16, 17. It's unbelievably cold. This fellow was a tramp. He lived in the streets. He had a coat falling to pieces. He said, Rav Yitzchok, I need you to help me. Rabbi Norman Silver, I need you to help me. So what's the problem? He said, I bought a coat 7 years ago, but I never had anyone to test it for shatness. So I've been wearing these rags all these years. Please, if you have a few minutes, can you please test it for shatness? I can wear this coat. It shouldn't be so difficult on a daily basis to live through the biting Russian winter. This is a Sofik, Kuch Nefesh, a Jew living in the streets. Every night, he was bitter cold. He could have been so much warmer with his coat, but he never touched it because it's a sophic of shatness. This is a person who's going to go straight to Olam HaBo. Daily basis, every day, day after day, freezing cold. He never touched that coat.
But he's not going to go to Gehenna. Because who are you to decide what's good for you and what's not?
He didn't have a Rebbe. He didn't have a Rebbe. But it's an sign in his pashtus. In his simplicity, he thought you're not allowed to wear anything with shatness on a daily basis. He did. That was his avodas Hashem. Unbelievable. That is a koyach of a Jew. A daily basis in the soil, he didn't crumble. For 7 years, there's another story. They had a bris mila of a boy who was 8 years old. And at the end of the bris mila in Russia, the mother collapsed, the mother fainted, and they revived her. They asked her, what's the problem, what's the matter, why did you faint? He said, you should just know that I had a child born to me 8 years ago, this little boy, and I made a shavua never ever to kiss it or to hug it, because if I kiss it and hug it and make life as normal, I may forget to give it bris milah. So I never hugged it or kissed it all these years, in order that I should remember every time I have the urge, to have the maternal urge, to go along and make a connection with my child, and remember, I've got to give him a bris milah. And this, after 8 years, is the first time I can actually hug and kiss my child, and she fainted. This, Rabbi Sai, is an Ivri. This is somebody, a regular Russian woman, not a big Beis Yaakov Moira or something. It's Poshut, a woman in Russia. And there's hundreds and thousands of stories like this. This is a koyach of a daily basis of taking the pots and knocking them, and the really good ones don't smash. It's the little weak ones that fall to pieces. That's a second moshel. The third moshel is a moshel of the cow. Now the idea behind this is the cow. If you put a yoke on it, sorry, just wait a second. No, that's one before that. What's a tool to deal with this nisayon? Vayishma Avram kinishba ochiv yikach haschanicho. Perik Yudalad, Pasuk Yudalad. Avram Avinu heard that Lot was captured. So what did he do? He went out to war. Now Rabbi Yisai, who did he go out to war with? It wasn't with the bully next door. These were superpowers. These are five kings against four kings. You're dealing here with a superpower, a super war. The whole area was embroiled in this war. Yet Avram Avinu hears that his nephew was captured. Oik comes along. Apollet comes along and tells him about it. He goes out to war. Now what was he thinking? Who did he get together? 318 people. Says Rashi, Medrash Agoda, it was Eliezer, Gematria 318. Now what's going through Avram Avinu's head? He's an intelligent man. He's going to go out. Yeah, and he's going to fight, you know, Syria, Jordan, maybe Iran and Iraq. Yeah, and he's going to go out with his... What's he got there? A nuclear bomb? What's he got? What is he thinking? What's he thinking? Says the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh says, Sare de Lot afka mebeisei. The pain of Lot took him out of his home. And as soon as he left home, says the Zohar Kodesh, he saw rivei ravavoi shel malachim. He saw hundreds of thousands of malachim suddenly coming towards him, going along to help him towards war. And therefore he went to war completely confidently. Says the Bale Musa, imagine he never made that move. Imagine he said, you know what, it's too big for me. I'm staying at home. Crazy, two people, who have I got here? Nothing would have happened. Would not have saved Lot. He made the first step. Said, Kodesh Baruch, I've got to make the first step. I've got to get what I have. I've got 380 people. Okay, Eliezer, okay, let's go out and make war. HaKodesh Baruch gave him every koyach he needed to fight the battle. This is the idea of this nesoyin. And the nesoyin is something that is difficult to overcome. But you've got to make the first step. Put your foot out. And you know what? What was Oig thinking? Oig had a whole cheshbon over here. Oig, you know, sort of was very attracted to Sarah. What does he think? That I'm going to tell Avram Avinu, and Avram is going to go out to war, and if Avram goes out to war, then what? He's going to get killed, and I can marry Sarah. Fantastic, brilliant idea. But one second, one problem with that plan. Why would Avram Avinu go out to war? Avram Avinu is an Avram Avinu with a few 318 people or just Eliezer. He won't go out to war. So what's his plan all about? The Teretz is that even a goy, Oig realized that Avram Avinu is something special. That he will go out to war because he'll do whatever it takes to save his nephew. Even a goy understood that's how you fight against Sahara. Do the first step and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you. That is a tool of realizing and seeing in the Soyin. Do the first step, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you with the rest. That's the second Medrash. The third Pshat in the Medrash is this koyach of putting a yoke on a cow. What's this all about? Now, putting a yoke on it, you've got two cows. One cow is strong, one cow is not strong. Now, what do you do? So, imagine you put the yoke on the strong cow. Now, it's certainly not making the second cow that strong, stronger by putting the yoke on him. Neither is it testing it. Because not talking about testing, you know which cow is strong, not testing it. So, why are you putting the yoke on this cow? The answer is, very simply, to show the world what a good cow this is. I can put a yoke, I can plow an entire field, and this cow can still do well. That is why you put the yoke on the third cow. On this cow. That's the third medrash. The medrash is telling us, the third idea that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives Nisoyin is to show the world what Tzaddikim can do. To show the world, to show the Jews, certainly, what our forefathers can do, how far they can go and how far they can be stretched, to give them a message, to make them follow in their footsteps. It's to be Mekal Shem Shemayim. That is the pshat in why you have, that's the third medrash. Now, Avram Avinu made tremendous headlines. Avram Avinu went out and he won the war, right? What did he say in the end? I'm not taking anything. B'chutat Tzarich Nal, I'm not taking anything. Why not? Take, you're entitled to it. So the Mefarshim explained, Avram Avinu said, I'm not entitled to it. Because you're only entitled to something in a war if it's equal. If it's me against them, and whoever wins, I win. But this wasn't equal. I have no suffix in the world that I'm going to lose. And therefore I'm not entitled to it. Avram Avinu went and he showed the whole world, once and for all, what it means to fight with a Kodesh Baruch Hu behind you. He changed all the laws of war from that time on. Everything was different from that time on. That was the Koch Avram Avinu. He showed the world how to run a war. He showed the world how to react with a Kodesh Baruch Hu helping you. He showed the world how to be an Ivri. That is the third pshat in the Medrash. Now I'm just going to give you a quick story for that as well, if you don't mind. The Medrash is in Parshas Vayera on the Pasuk Bashem Nisa is Avram. There was a girl from the family called Schiff. Schiff, she lived in Vienna in the early 1900s. And this girl had a young teenage girl, had the most amazing, amazing voice. Professional. She would sing at little parties or for the family or just girls around, and everyone would be in tears. She was absolutely professional. She came from a very simple home, a choshuva home. Parents were from, it was a very special family. But her voice was so special that people heard about it. One day an agent came to her and he said to her, what amazing voice you have. I promise you, if I give you the correct training and with my connections, you can make it big. You'll be a world opera singer. You know how much money you get? You know what fame you'll have? And she got a little bit the smell of fame and she was hooked. She was hooked. And she said to her parents, listen, I want to go for this. I want to go for this. It's not a terribly, terribly, terrible thing. I'll still keep all the mitzvahs, but, you know, I want to be an opera singer. Parents said, what are you talking about? A frum girl become an opera singer? What are you talking about? How can you how to have a minute? No, I won't work on Shabbos. And, you know, maybe the men in the crowd will be bottle barayv. But, you know, but you're talking about making a fame, making myself famous. You know, this is what it's all about. It's unbelievable. I can't. So they took, the parents took her to Shlomo Baumgarten. Now, Shlomo Baumgarten was a rav of my parent shul. He was my sundik. Now, I'm not sure it was the same as Shlomo Baumgarten. Either was very, very old or later on in the 1900s. I don't know. But Shlomo Baumgarten was a very famous character in Vienna. He moved to England. Anyway, Shlomo Baumgarten spoke to her and spoke to her and spoke to her, and it helped with tote bunkers. It means it did not help one least little bit. It didn't help. Did not help. Tote bunkers means dead leeches. It didn't work. Yeah, it did not work. So they took, at that time in Vienna, Shlomo Baumgarten knew there was a Chassidish Rebbe there, and the Chassidish Rebbe's name was the Kapishnitzer Rebbe. Okay? Went to Kapishnitzer Rebbe, and the Rebbe said to her, listen, you want fame? Every woman wants fame. But the fame of a Jewish woman is not through singing an opera. The fame is having special children. I'll give you a deal. I'll give you an offer of a lifetime. You give up your dreams of becoming an opera singer, and I promise you, you'll have a very, very special child that will give you fame forever and ever. So she was crying. She said, you know what? I'll take it on. I'll go for it. I'll go for it. If you promise me a special child, I'll drop my career, I'll drop my dreams, I'll go for the dream that you're offering me now, or a special child, I'll go for it. This was written, by the way, in the chronicles of the Kehillas of Vienna. That's the end of the story written down there. Rav Don Segal, Shlita, went along and made research who this child was. This child, Rabbi Yisai, is Hagoyin, Hagodol, Rashta Bahag, one of the biggest Poskadorah Shmuel Vosner. Rav Shmuel Vozner was a child born to this Golshif. And Rav Shmuel Vozner was asked by Don Segal if this story is true, and he said often, when as a little boy, my mother would say to me, you know what I gave up that you should learn? That you should be a tzaddik? Rav Shmuel Vozner, this is fame. This is fame. This is somebody giving up a nesoyin that the whole world can gain from it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a nesoyin, they should be a kiddush Hashem. That the whole world can learn psak halacha. That's the third medrash. The third medrash is making kiddush Hashem. What's the tool to connect to it? I want to read you out an unbelievable Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh is in this week's parasha. How does one connect to making kiddush Hashem? How does one connect to people who are so great to make such an impact? The idea is, this is an unbelievable Zohar Kodesh. Zohar Kodesh says, the Pasuk says, when Melech Sodom was offering Avram Avinu said to him, I'm going to take absolutely nothing. Vayimei Melech Sodom el Avram, ten li ha-nefesh v'chush kachloch. Take the nefesh and give me the rechush. Vayimei Avram el Melech Sodom, ha-ramaysi yodi m'chut v'atzarechna, I'm not going to take anything. Biladai, besides, rak ashe'ochle ha-na'orim v'chelek ha-noshim ashe'olche iti. Only the chelek ashe'ochle ha-na'orim ate, and the chelek ha-noshim, and the chelek of the people that came with me. I want to read you out what the Zohar Kodesh says. Parshas Lech Lecha, this is in Daf Membeis on the base. Bilodai rak ashe ochel ha-na'orim. Omer Rav Tamchum. Says Rav Tamchum. Ba v'ra'ei kamo chaviva ha-toyr ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come along and see how chaviv toyr is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebishvilo zoicha ha-odom l'chaya o'ilam ha-bo. Through this a person zoicha to o'ilam ha-bo. Chol ha-melamid toyr la-acherim yoyse mikulom. If a person teaches Torah to others, it's greater than anything. Bovar A. Come and see. Makasipakan. What does it say over here? Im ekach mikola shalacho. If I'll take anything from you. Oysom harushoim haruim lacho abeladi. Rak ashe ochel an orim chutz moysom hamurim Torah lacherim uznoikish ascharim kofel. Tomer b'yitzchok hamalame Torah li tznoikish dirosei mashchina. What's going on over here? He brings carries on and he says, Vayoyim Avram Melech Sodom. Who's Melech Sodom? Says that Zohar Kodesh. Melech Sodom is the Moishel, the Sarei Shel Gehenim, HaMoishel Rishoyim. Melech Sodom is the Sarei Shel Gehenim. He is the Sarei of Gehenim. And he said to Avram Avinu, all I want from you is Ten Liyah Nefesh. Give me all the Nefashas of the Rishoyim. Give me the Nefashas of the Rishoyim. Avram Avinu said to him, you can have them. You can take them all. Biladai, there's only two lots he can't take. Rak asher ochlu hanorim. Rak asher ochlu hanorim means chutz meoisom asher lomdu lanorim Torah. Even if they're rishoyim, asher ochlu hanorim, if they've taught people Torah, you have no right to touch them. Asher ochlu hanorim, those that fed people Torah, you have no right to touch. Number one. Number two, vechelek ha'noshim asher holchu iti, and those people that followed me. Those people that connected themselves with me, that I'm a tzaddik, those rishoyim have no chelik in Gehenna. You have no right to take them to Gehenna. What that means, I don't know. But what it's telling us is that to connect oneself with Tamid HaChomim, to connect oneself with Gedolim, not only makes one stronger, not only helps us with nisyonus, but the kiddush Hashem of connecting to a tzaddik, seeing how a tzaddik runs his life, that is inspiring to oneself, and that is why Kodesh Baruch Hu tests a tzaddik, to see how a tzaddik overcomes his nisyonos and grows, and teaches other people how to run their lives. And these people can actually get so inspired that even the Rishoyim will not go to Gehenna through this. This is Peshat in the Medrash. The Medrash is telling us the three reasons behind why Kodesh Baruch Hu gives nisyonos. What's Peshat in the Pasuk? And we'll finish with that. It says a Pasuk. Vayoyim Hashem al Avram lech lecho me'arzecho me'ladecho lebeis avicho. Leave. I'm giving you a nesoyin. Leave. Said Avram Avinu, why? What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I'm not going to manage to leave. I won't do well with nesoyinus. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry. Ve'eescho legoy godol. I'll make you into a great nation. In other words, this nesoyin is idea number one. Don't think, if I give you the nesoyin, you're going to fall apart. I'm telling you, you're going to do better. Ve'eschol ha'goy gadol. The first part of the medrash. you'll grow from this nisayon. I'm giving you nisayons not because I hate you, and not because I think badly of you. Number one, I give you nisayon because of first medrash. Through giving you nisayon, you become greater, you'll become stronger. That's the first reason why Hashem gave him the nisayon. Number two, vavarechacho. Vavarechacho means, don't think for one moment that if I give you in the nisayon, you'll shatter. Don't think that if Hashem gives you in the nisayon, you're going to fall apart. On the contrary, vavarechacho, you'll be blessed. You'll come out of there blessed. Veheye brocha, you'll come out of there better than you were before. You won't fall apart. The second moshel of the medrash, the moshel of the pots, and they get beaten, they get bashed. Hashem said, don't worry. If you follow the right way and you follow all the lessons, you won't get broken by it. And finally, the third moshel of the medrash, of the two cows, and the person puts the yoke on the strong cow to show the world how strong it is, and the Be'kiddush Hashem out of this. So therefore, this pasuk over here is giving Avraham Avinu the key to understanding why Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving him this yonus. Number one, to make him better. Number two, to show him how strong he is. And number three, to make Kiddush Hashem to show just how strong Jews can be. That is why this particular bracha is connected to this nesoyin over here. And this is what we have to learn. We're ivri anoichi. We're different to anyone else. We can grow through nesoyinus. We can become stronger through nesoyinus. The world is looking at us to see how we're doing. And the way we grow and the way we do better can make an effect on the entire world. And this is our responsibility, and that's our privilege of being a Jew. Thank you.